After the lockdown, hallelujah, I feel so excited. Amen and amen, hallelujah. Come on, greet somebody next to you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Don't worry, we killed the corona here. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Maybe you were exposed somewhere. It's dying now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You shall not get it. It shall not come upon you. In the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty. Can somebody explain to me in terms of sickness? What does that mean? In terms of sickness, what does that mean? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It means where the Holy Ghost is, there is contagiousness. Hallelujah. You are contagious of the Holy Ghost. Wherever you go, sickness has to die, because instead of you getting it, they get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You get into a taxi, disease just dies just like that. Hallelujah. Whether you are flying, disease just dies at that airport. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is contagious. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Who are you here? Saints. Hallelujah. You know, saints, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. You know, it's easy to preach when there are no people. I just got to preach to the camera how I go. You know, looking at people's faces. Because now when I'm preaching to people, I have to communicate with you.
Amen.
And you have to communicate with me. So my part of communication may be played now, but your part. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, because what I might read is communication. Might not be the way you communicate. Hallelujah. So I'm like, oh, I go, people, what's happening with this one? And they are communicating right there. And I'm just not picking it up. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you happy to be here, saints?
Amen.
Are you happy?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. You know, this month is the month of financial increase. And we are so excited. Because we're just praying just a couple of minutes back that let the wealth of the wicked be transferred to us. Let the wealth of this world be given back to us. Hallelujah. And we are pushing on, we are praying, we are declaring, and we are demanding. But one of the key things that I need you to understand, look at your neighbor now. Say, you are responsible for either increase or decrease. You have the authority. You have the final say. Hallelujah. You know, at most we were taught that it's in the hands of God. How many know that? So it's in the hands of God. Tell your neighbor, that's a lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's in your hands. Check what Moses was doing. He was complaining, oh Lord, the people are complaining now. You led us to the Red Sea. We are going to perish here. What did God say to Moses? He said, Moses, what's in your hands? And he said, it's my rod. And God said, use that rod so that you can split the Red Sea to walk on. When they got to the other side, what happened again? The people were complaining. They were complaining, they were shouting, there is no water here. You know, sometimes we get used to complaining. That when God says, it's up to you to come out, you don't get to come out. You still complain. Hallelujah. You still complain. You're coming from the most powerful anointed service. For you to change your confession, to say, you know what? I have received my way out today. It's working out for me. You don't do that. You go back home and you start complaining. You know what? Yeah, the service was powerful. But you know, if my problem could just change, then things would work out. Oh, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, it's up to you. It's up to you. You have the final say. Ooh, hallelujah. Ask them, do you want to get employed? Do you want to get promoted? Do you want the money they are giving you to increase? It's up to you. Oh, hallelujah.
Are you with me, Bazaran? Oh, glorious Jesus. Say it's up to me. Let's open 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Nico, how are you? You good? Amen. I see there is a divine exchange of the brothers. Hallelujah. Sister Tutu, how are you? All the way from Joburg. Hallelujah. Hey, can you just come here forever? Hallelujah. Sister Linda, how are you? It's your first Sunday today. Amen. Yes, and I believe the rest will be here. Sister Mune, our choreographer and upcoming musician. Brother Sean, I can see you are a fiery evangelist. You know, you can't be contained with the word. You gotta be moving up and down. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glorious Jesus. You know what? It's very prophetic, to be honest. What kids do change, it's prophetic. Hallelujah. You were there, my mother was telling us, when did I start praying for people for the sick? If you remember the story. My mom was sick, I think I was grade 3. And then my mother is sick and everyone is worried. I said to her, you know what, I remember I took off my shirt because I said, this one is a serious thing. Let me pray for you now. I laid hands on my mother and she got healed instantly. Man, she even got it off from work because even the doctors couldn't do anything. But on that particular day, I don't know what possessed me. It's contagious. I said, I'm going to pray for her and she's going to be healed. And I remember my granny, my grandmother, my mother's mom, even came. You know when your grandmother comes, it means it's serious. But in my grade 3 mind, I'm like, no, I'm going to pray. She's going to be healed. I told her, I'm going to pray for you. I'm serious. Then I took off my shirt. I'm like, a minute, I prayed for her and she got healed there and then. And that was the mark of the Lord. So begin to check what your children are doing. Are you with me, parents? Hallelujah. If they start singing, stop. No, don't just say, hey, when you are making noise, allow them to make noise. Because if they can't do it freely at home, they will do it in the nightclubs. Hallelujah. Let them do it. If they are praying for people, you say, I want to just touching me, stop touching me. Those hands will not touch people for the glory of God. They will start touching people for something else. So allow them to express the prophetic. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Can somebody read? Amen. Tell your neighbor, you are responsible for your way out. Yes, you cannot complain any longer. You can't complain anymore. God has given you the ability to change your story. You cannot remain the same. It's not optional. It's not a choice. It's not for you to go religious and say, well, it's up to the Lord. If He wants to change my story, let Him change. No, it's up to you to change your story. Hallelujah. Oh, glorious Jesus. Quickly read.
1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son yes. Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare.
Says according to the promises previously made concerning you. Hallelujah. And I want to believe that each and every one of us has received a prophetic word concerning their finances. It might be this year, it might be last year, it might be years past. When a word was given to you concerning your financial increase, concerning your finances, whether it's business, it's at work, concerning good things coming your way. Many of us, we have had a dream. We have had a desire. We have had a plan to say, you know what? I want to start a company. I want to start a business. I want to start a B, C, D, and E. And majority of us, with that word, with that desire, we stopped along the way. Amen and amen. Challenges came up, and instead of moving forward, and for some of us, time came, for the prophetic word, time came and time passed, and we did not see what was said concerning our lives, concerning our finances, and we even are trying to do, you know, we are trying this thing, we are trying that thing, but nothing is moving, and we are at a place where we are stuck, where we don't know whether we should move away, where we don't know whether we should change, go somewhere, plant ourselves in another country, maybe in another city. We don't know. Hallelujah. But here, Apostle Paul talking to Timothy says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the promises, the prophecies previously made concerning you, so that by them you may wage good warfare. Meaning every word that has ever been released concerning your life, it is up to you for that word to come to pass. It is up to you for that dream, for that desire, for that plan, for that project. It's up to you for that thing to come to pass. Hallelujah. There is no, I am waiting for God. If God allows it, you know, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, when it is time, God will make it happen. Right? You know that famous scripture, right? But can I shock you? God was talking to people that were in the old covenant. In the new covenant, we are not waiting for time to come. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 11 already told us that the time is now. It says what? Now, faith. So I am no longer waiting for the word to come to pass, but I have to act now for that word to be fulfilled, for that word to come to pass in my life, for that business to take off, for that increase to take off, for that increase in my workplace to take off. The time is now. Hallelujah. You realize that believers, when it comes to finances, this is the area where we want to act super humble. Amen. Even in our prayers concerning money, we are super humble. Oh dear Lord God, you know that I need rent, but whatever you can bring me, Father, come, just thank you for it. Hallelujah. I want to experience that. Come on, be honest. But here the Bible is telling us that Timothy, it is up to you, because we have a word that you have received. Where you are is not your portion. Rather, take that word and begin to wage warfare with it. In other words, do something about it. Don't sit there and wait for things to change, because they won't change unless you begin to change. Come on, tell your neighbor, unless you change. Unless you do something. Unless you rise up. Unless you start too much forward. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us the story of the four lepers, that in the city where they were in, it was under siege, it was surrounded. Meaning economically in the city, nothing was moving. If the businesses outside the city, it meant that those businesses were shut down. Hallelujah. If these people were working somewhere in the city, their companies were not producing. Why? Because they were under siege. And the four lepers were in between the city and the enemy. They could not be in the city because they were lepers. They could not go elsewhere because around the city they were surrounded. But the lepers decided to do something that was outside of their comfort zone. Sometimes we become too comfortable praying and not seeing anything change. We become too comfortable making declarations and not seeing anything change. We become too comfortable that the dream just dies. The story just dies. January, you've got things that you're saying, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to set up this, I want to set up that. But 3 weeks down the line, your dream just dies until you have a surge of another dream. Majority of us, we are walking back and forth. You move forward and you come back. You move forward, you come back. Why? Because you have not realized that the power of change is not in anybody else, but the power of change is in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have prayed for that business for a long time. And maybe you are like the four lepers, where in the city where you're supposed to do business, there is coronavirus. And you're in a place where there is a disadvantage, because when you look where you are disadvantaged by the conditions, the environment that you are in. The four lepers say, if we are staying here, we will die. One of the things, Mazarone, you need to realize is that God desires that you prosper. Not only spiritually, but that you prosper even financially.
Are you with me, Bazana? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you want to lose your faith, sit down with somebody that is complaining. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you something? I can do a track record in my life where I sat with someone that was complaining about money, and all of a sudden my money started to complain about me. Is it making sense? Hallelujah. Come on, tell your neighbor, be watchful of the company you keep. Rebuke them. Hallelujah. Don't allow their negativity to be imparted into you. So the follower says, if we are going to the city, surely we will die. If we are staying here, we will what? Die. Imagine if somebody from the city had come where the four lepers are and told them how hard things are in the city. Do you think the four lepers would have made any decision? They would have said it's better to die here because there is death everywhere. But the four lepers encouraged themselves. Amen. And one time David was in the cave of Adullam, surrounded by people that were distressed, people that had no hope, people that had no dream whatsoever, people that had given up. And the Bible says David encouraged himself. You calling home, they're telling you how hard it is. For those that come from Zimbabwe, for those that come from Congo, they're telling you how hard it is. Hallelujah. You know, people have been hoping, maybe if we change governments, then things will... And Corona, boom, just came around the corner, and things are getting hard. Just like the four lepers, you're in a place where you can make a life-changing decision, where sitting down is not an option. Hallelujah. Who am I talking to, somebody? Can I tell you something? You know, this is the intro to what we are going to be talking about this month. Amen. Hallelujah. This is just the intro. Can I tell you something? Check this out. Sometimes we have thought that greener pastures are somewhere. But when we realize what prosperity is in our life, prosperity is more than the paycheck that you receive. Prosperity is more than the people around you. Prosperity is the doing of God, is the divine getting involved. So that all work out for your good. That's why Paul says, yet in all these things, all things work out for my good in Christ Jesus. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror. He was not considering the things. He was considering who was standing beside him and with him and in him when he was going through whatever he was going through. Ooh, hallelujah. When that begins to register, that I am more than what I am, that where I am is not my end. What is surrounding me, my environment, is not my end. Hallelujah. What's happening in the city is not my end. This is the four lepers deciding. They began to speak amongst themselves. They said, listen, already in the city we are shunned. We are disqualified to be there. So it's a no-go area. And we now know that there is an enemy that is surrounding us. But that does not profit us at all, knowing that the enemy is there. So whether we are in the city, we are here, or we are going to the enemy, we are going to die here. But little did they know that there was a word that was spoken the day before, that tomorrow by this time there will be going to be flour in the city, and people are going to be selling and buying. The economy is going to be opened up. The Bible says when the four lepers began to march, little did they know that they were marching warfare concerning the prophecies that were given towards the city, that were given towards the kingdom of Israel. When you are sitting down, you are not going to see anything move. Hallelujah. But when you begin to move, you will catch up with what God has already done concerning your life. Hallelujah. You are sitting here complaining, hey, there are no customers coming. I think I should shut this thing down. Shut it and see if money will come. You know what? What the four lepers were dealing, number one, were dealing with, they were dealing with being despised. Sometimes we are despised. Sometimes the situation and the environment that is with us or that we are in causes us to despise ourselves. Why am I getting this? Should I explain further? In the city, they are not allowed. Where they are, there is no food coming. Around them, the enemy has surrounded the city. So it means if they are to go back into the city, they are not allowed there. They will be stoned to death. If they are to stay there, they are dying. If they go to the enemy, they are to trust the enemy will kill them because it's the enemy. So their relatives will stone them with stones. Where they are, they will die a slow death of hunger. Where they will go, the enemy is actually against them. So sometimes we get to a place where we are despised in the city. Where we want to move forward, it's as if it's a place where we can't reach. Or the people that are there in the next level, they despise us. Because what is needed for us to get to the next level, we do not have. Financially, we don't have the capital. But to stay in the city, people are saying, you know, in Africa, people begin to ask, people your age have now got stealth. What have you got? People your age are now married. What have you got? People your age have this and that. What have you got? So, the situation creates a spirit that causes you to be despised by others and by yourself. So they said, if we are going to the city, we are not allowed there. So the spirit of being despised is upon them, that they themselves have begun to despise themselves. Oh, hallelujah. You want to apply this job, they say, with particular papers, you don't have them. So each time an advert shows up, you despise yourself. You say, I am not qualified, I'm not going to do this, but staying there is not going to change the story. Azalwane, can I ask you? I was listening to one preacher this morning. How many have paid their rent by prayer? You got your lender's account, you swipe your card, or you punch the account and you say, in the name of Jesus, thank you, this time. How many have done that miracle? So it means it's your responsibility to do something. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus gave talents. He spoke about the parable of talents. That there was a king who gave different talents to another. He gave one to another. He gave two to another. He gave five. But when he got back, he expected that they multiplied the talents. But there was one who had the spirit of being despised. He said, my master is a cruel king. If I am to multiply this, he's just going to come and take it. So I should not put it even in the bank. Let me hide it. When the master came back, the one that had five, he had multiplied to ten. He had taken charge of his financial situation. Hallelujah. He had taken charge of his circumstances. He would not remain with the five. He multiplied them to ten. The one with two multiplied them to what? To four. When the master came, he took from the one that had one and he gave it to the one that had ten. Do you want to know why? Because the kingdom of God does not tolerate laziness. Are you with me, Basalwane? Come on, in this church, you've got to begin to do. You know, I like it how they do it in Zayoje. You know Zayoje, right? From Zimbabwe, Zayoje. I think in other countries it's known as Forwarding Faith. That's the official name. And Zim, they've got their own name. But what they teach in that church, they teach how to create wealth by following the pattern of the parable of the talents. Are you getting what I'm saying? It cannot be that you cannot tithe. It cannot be that you cannot see. It cannot be that you cannot give. Begin to multiply the talent. Are you with me? The lepers decided, if we are staying here, nothing is coming out. Rather, let's march towards the enemy. Why were they marching towards the enemy? Because the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is stored for the righteous. When they were marching towards the enemy, the Bible says the Lord amplified their footsteps. That the enemy heard a sound of horses, of a large army coming against them. They ran and they deserted their gold, their wealth and their food. That when the lepers got there, the wealth of the wicked was indeed stored for the righteous. So he took from the one. Jesus said, the master came and he took from the one that had won and gave it to the one that had plenty. If you cannot be trusted with one, how can we trust you with two? God is expecting, listen, the church functions with money. Here they need rent. And you've got to tithe so that we can what? We can pay rent. So we're going to pray. Yeah, you know what, next month. I'm not saying those miracles are not there. They are there. But God does not promote lazy. Are you with me, Basalwane? Hallelujah. It means if you come to this church, start a business. You're going to work, that's fine. Start something on the side. If possible, do two or three things on the side. Hallelujah. Have multiple channels of revenue coming your way. These ones, they say,
the revenue, the food coming from the city, it has been shut down. We could have gone and looked for food elsewhere, but the revenue to go there, we can't go because we've been stuck here, because we depended on the city. So they were dealing with the spirit of being despised, and they were dealing with the spirit of dependency. One of the things why believers don't make it is because we have the spirit of dependency. Hallelujah. We are dependent on God to come through. That's not wrong. That's okay. Hallelujah. But when He comes, He's going to ask you, what have you done with the little that I have given you? I cannot trust you with a billion when you can't be faithful with 100.
Amen.
You can't even multiply 50 rand. You're saying, oh Lord, make me a millionaire for what? Who will it benefit? Because whatever we give you is God's down. We give you 100 rand today by evening. You can't even trace how you spend it. Hallelujah. You've got to take charge, responsibility of your finances. Are you with me, Basana? I said this is an introduction, so it's a bit jumbled. All of these things, I'm going to teach them clearly throughout the month. I don't know if we get to March or April, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Are you with me, Basana?
Amen.
So they were fighting the spirit of being dependent. Because they said, you know what? They were sitting there because people from the city brought them food. What happens when what you are relying on is cut off? Maybe you depend on your job. Say, I know I want to work, but I don't have the spirit of dependence. I'm going to work. You've got it if that's the only thing you're depending upon. Are you with me? Hallelujah. This world we are living in is not, it's unpredictable. Are you with me? You know, one time I was at UK's and then I think my wife knows this. I just got to work one day and they are saying, actually I didn't get to work. I was supposed to go to work the following day. At 10 p.m. they sent me a message. Say, come drop the keys to the tutor's room. You know, we've got a... First, somebody was put in the tutor's group. And they're saying, let's welcome Sister So-and-so. For me, I'm like, oh, welcome, sister. And then the next thing, that's Michael's replacement. I'm like, huh? Fight the spirit of dependency. Some of us, we are comfortable. Hallelujah. You know what? Can I tell you something? The spirit of dependency, if God wants you to break away from it, you'll be just like what was happening with Penina and Hannah, where Penina would be mocking Hannah all the time. If Hannah depended on the fact that the husband, it means beyond what you are saying, this is my source that is coming to me. What else are you generating for yourself? We read it when we were leading prayer the last 2 days, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his grandchildren. What is it that you are going to leave for your children? Do you think your grandchildren are going to come where you are working, and then when they come there, they say, yeah, my grandfather was the accountant here for the last 17 years, so I want to be also an accountant here. It's my inheritance. That position cannot be inherited. Hallelujah. The world does not function like that. That's why Jesus told them parables. It says the parable of the 10 virgins. What were the 5 lacking and the 5 had? What were they lacking? 5 had oil. When the bridegroom came, they had oil, right? And the 5 had no oil. When the bridegroom came, what were they lacking? Oh, hallelujah. Wisdom. Wisdom. Do you realize that even baboons have got wisdom? I'll show you. If you grow up in the raw areas where there are baboons, when they go to a tree that is fruits, they dig a hole, they put under. Because they are saying, I'm going to eat this thing. Even this bed, what they call it, a crow. It steals and it stores. But the only disadvantage of that bed is that it forgets where it was. It puts it on the tree. When it goes to get some more, it forgets. Where did I put the last one? Then it puts up. But you can see that there is wisdom. Come on, if you... Say, hey, my sister, Tutu, there is an opportunity and we want to bring clothes from China. We just need 5,000 rand. And you you are thinking 5,000 is not money. But every extra you had, now you have to go in debt to get 5,000. Usually what happens when you get in debt? Somewhere in China, clothes get stolen. And you say to someone, when you're calculating, you're saying, you know what? You know this thing, when they come, we sell them, even good customers. But the devil just wants you to be out of a financial strategy because you need wisdom. Are you with me? So the five wise virgins, I'll call them the wise ones, they realize that opportunity is going to come knocking on the door. So let's store up plenty of oil, because we don't know when the bridegroom comes, whom he is going to pick, and at what time is he going to pick. Because my understanding is that they needed oil that even during the play, as this one was going to choose whom he was going to marry, you need to have oil so that when he passes by you, he can see your beauty clear. So then to store up enough oil, not knowing whether this thing he was going to select at 5 a.m. in the morning, or he was going to select when he comes. So if your oil gets finished before he selects, it means you are out of the game. Just imagine. Opportunities start to roll the day your account hits zero. It means there is a lack of wisdom. Hallelujah. I tell my wife I have a squirrel account. She knows this. I've got a squirrel account. I've got a squirrel, then I've got a, you know, after the squirrel, I've got a, another one. I call that one a Hail Mary. So we are never without money, because there is money stocked up somewhere. So even when the account hits zero, you know, sometimes my wife asks me, well, your account is zero, my account is zero. We still need to do a BCD. I tell her, don't worry, I've got a plan. Because I've got a squirrel account somewhere. There is money stored up somewhere. You get what I'm saying, Pastor Ron? So these ones, they had wisdom for opportunity. You're applying for a job. They want you maybe in Dundee's in case, right? I don't know, even Peter Maritzburg or wherever. I remember first year we were applying for jobs. We had to walk from Howard College to Musgrave and wherever. And then you got there, they say, yeah, you are waking from 5 p.m. to 12 midnight. When you're in money, someone. Now someone is asking you, another, you know what? Yeah, you know, I don't have money. Do you have enough money for the both of us? Are you hearing what I'm saying, Mr. Lord? You need wisdom. Because when an opportunity rocks up, you don't want to be found in a place where you are still wanting. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? It's the month of financial increase. Business opportunities are knocking at the door. Are you ready for them? Oh, hallelujah. So what did you say? The first thing they were dealing with was what? So it means despised by others and themselves despising themselves. Hallelujah. Amen. Dependent. This one is a serious one. I just brushed through it, but it's a serious one. Realize some people make plans. In their plans, you are the final piece of the puzzle. You know what? I want to go to Cape Town. I want to do A, B, C, D, and E. La, 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 la. And you say, oh, okay. Then they say, yeah, you know, but I just need like 1.5. You know what? And I tell them 1.5, so it's a nigga in 1.5. When I come back, yeah, I'm expecting something to happen. Dependence. Come and say, I'm free. I don't borrow. I don't depend on nobody. My wife is the only one that is allowed to depend on me financially, and vice versa. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not saying you can't help people, you can't be helped. No, you can. But deal away with the spirit of dependency. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wisdom. So it means start to have the idea of a storehouse. Check what the Bible says concerning your your time. He says, I will pour out when? Right? I'll pour out when? Into your storehouse. Do you have a storehouse? Do we have storehouses? How many have savings accounts here? Can I see? Proper savings accounts. By raising hands. I'd rather, but I know you have. You, I know you have. Hallelujah. Majority, we just have that checking account. It comes, we swipe, it goes. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying, Pastor?
Amen.
So when God wants to pour in a storehouse, you don't have. You don't have because, you know, I'm not necessarily saying your savings account is your storehouse. I'm saying there is a type of mentality, a storehouse type of mentality that says, let me save. I am casting my bread on many waters because I don't really know what tomorrow brings, right? So I've got to say, so when God wants to bring to your storehouse and you have a mentality of charming whatever comes your way, even God has to break protocol because you don't have the storehouse mentality. How can he bring surplus your way? Because when you have surplus, you waste it.
Amen.
Can I show you something? Do you realize that black people, now this is just something else. Black people, we are the number one people that struggle with the thing called savings. Because from a young child, when your uncle came to see you, Linda, your uncle would leave you with money. And they would say, this is your money to buy sweets. What would you do when they give you? You go by, say, the uncle is not even out of the house. You're coming. Now you're asking your siblings, check, you want? You want? So there was never a storehouse mentality. But each time God is dealing with finances, he repeatedly, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, speaks about the idea of a storehouse. Says, number one, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour that you may not have room to keep. What is room to keep? It's a store place. My storehouse, where I keep my surplus, I have no room to keep this one. It's a mentality that he's driving. Give it to come back to you, press down, shake it together. Running over. Shall we give it to you? Press down, shake it together. Where is this thing being pressed down and shaken together? In your storehouse. You know, in the olden days, they say the disciples had those like money pouches. So each time the people, like in those days, they had money pouches, they received money, they put it there, right? Give it, shall come back to you. So the whole idea is when you keep, you get in your pouch and you keep pressing until there is no room to keep, there is an overflow. So an overflow comes to somebody with the idea, the wisdom of opportunity to say, I need to have a store because I don't know even when Corona comes what I'm going to be doing. So how can God work with you when you can't work with yourself? Can I show you the idea of the storehouse again? In the book of Genesis, God took Joseph into Egypt as a slave. And Pharaoh had a dream and Joseph came to interpret the dream. Number four, even the lepers were interpreters of God's word. Joseph comes to interpret the dream. He says, Pharaoh, the dream that you had, it's 7 years of drought, plenty, and 7 years of drought. Can you see this? Plenty always came before it, drought. And he says, but you need to look for a man that had a God-given idea of the stores, so that when the 7 years of drought does come, you'll be able not only to supply in Egypt, but to supply to the rest of the world. And the king said, I'm going to look for a man. Where should I look for a man? Where should I look for a man? And he said, Joseph, you are the man. He interpreted the storehouse. Pastor Ronnie, there are many multi-million dollar business ideas coming your way, but you cannot interpret like Joseph that this one is mine. You are sitting around. You know, one time I was sitting with Pastor G. Pastor G was just telling me a whole lot of things. I don't know if I'm allowed to say those things. Alright, he was telling me ideas that would bring money. Some of us, we have been at places where people are talking about money. You know, when we go, we went for a bride on the 26th, right? The people that were there, They were all business people. They are busy talking about making money. You are thinking the pork is not done on this side. And you are saying, hey, Pela, I open your beef. Exchange the pork. Okay, let me go and sit by the bride so that the meat does not bend. Who cares if the meat bends? Get the ideas right there. As a lot of financial increase needs wisdom. And it also needs an interpreter. That the place that I am here, it might not be a door, an opportunity to say, here's an opportunity. But the stories that are being spoken, that I can interpret them into my life and benefit for the next 7 years. So that I can leave an inheritance for my grandchildren. Have your financial mind wake up to interpret the times. You are a girl, not married, and you are waiting for a rich guy to marry you. You are a guy that is not married. You are hoping that the family you marry is to be got money. Don't you read newspapers and social media? How people got disappointed. They tell Bentley's name, but your husband is not allowed not even to drive one. I get what I'm saying. So before lepers say, let's begin to march, they interpreted the times. You've got to develop, you know, this sense to interpret the sons. The sons of Issachar. What could they do, Pastor Jim?
They could interpret.
They interpreted the times.
Sons.
They could interpret the times. You are just here, you are waiting for your next paycheck. You can't even tell that the climate is changing. Come on, people are 2020 in town every day. Are you with me?
Amen.
You are with me, Mazaro?
Amen.
Tell me about interpreting.
Interpret.
Start interpreting. Do you know the guy, one of the guys that became the first millionaires or whatever heirs at that time? Guy was walking very poor to the bone, and he saw a piece of wire on the ground. They just introduced notes. Not that they were using coins. They don't want him to carry these coins. So they introduced notes. So the guy is walking down the street, poor like a rat, nothing, no hope, nothing. And he saw a wire, he turned it this way. He put papers in between. He went to the bank. He says, I've got a solution for how people can hold so many notes. So what do? He says, I've got a money claim. But before I do anything, I want to make sure this idea is not stolen. Registered this idea that no one can steal it for the next 50 years or so. And he invented money clips from a wire he picked in the ground. Are you getting this, Pastor Lord? When you can interpret. When you can interpret. The same word for the Chinese for disaster is the same word for opportunity. All you need to do is, it's the same word. The same word for disaster for the Chinese is the same. It's written, spelled, it's the same word. But it depends on the context by which you are interpreting it in. So you can either interpret it as disaster, and then you start crying, oh, my world has come to an end. Or you can interpret it as opportunity. Because every problem creates an opportunity for somebody to rise. Come on, say, Lord, give me the spirit to interpret. Are you with me, Pastor? Prophetic word that was spoken to you. You might have been given a direct prophetic word, a declaration made towards the end of the service. Say, I am the head, I'm not the tail. And you said it. When you go home, begin to interpret that in the things that you do. Hallelujah. You have a passion, you have a passion for. You are looking even in the church and you think, maybe that thing should be up there, that thing should be. Let me interpret that for you. It means you can be in events. You can be an event table. Hallelujah. You are wasting your time applying there, but you are sitting here. You are actually seeing another cloth going there, another thing, but you can't interpret that I can be in events takeoff. I can even do takeoff when it's for parties. You can't even think about that. You need the Spirit to interpret. Oh, are you with me? Hallelujah. How far are we with time? How many minutes, Brother Lincoln, do we have there? About 40. All right. Hallelujah. Are you following me, Sanon?
Amen.
Glorious Jesus. Are you with me? And the last thing the lepers did, they executed. So they didn't just sit down and plan. Yeah, we're gonna watch. They executed. They got up and they began to march. You have to be determined to make it. Tell your neighbor, be determined to make it. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to chance. Leaving it to chance is also saying, you know, we have a religious mindset to know, to say, if it is the will of God, then let it happen. So my brother, maybe that prayed that prayer, they are still praying it and nothing is changing. Be determined for change. Be determined for change. Mordecai was determined. He said, Esther, do something about this. God, who knows, maybe God chose you to be in the kingdom for such a time as this. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, there are many people that feel sorry for themselves. There are many people that are saying, you know what, God, if I was born maybe in America, I would have made it. There are many poor people there that are saying, God, if I was born in Africa, I could be far much better than what I am. I tell you, it's true. To 2012, I was in New York. People work 5 jobs there. There is no rest. I would wake up at 7 in the morning to catch 8 o'clock. I come back at 4:30 p.m. to dress up for another job that I would leave at 2 a.m. And I would sleep from 2 a.m. So you count 2 a.m. to maybe you get home. Well, I was living in the flat upstairs. So maybe 10 minutes, 10 past 2. Before I sleep, I have to call my parents in Africa. How are you? And I speak to people. That's 30 minutes for now. The moment, you know, sleep is becoming sweeter, the alarm rings, wake up, bath, go to bed. That's how people are living there in America. You're there, I want to go there, I'll be successful. You realize you just changed location, but poverty is still following you. So be determined. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, there are people that have gone overseas, came back, stayed there for a long time, came back. When you meet them, it's not different from the granny that was taking. Are you with me? When I talk about, you know, when we're going to be talking about prosperity, that's what we'll be talking about on Friday. It's Friday, right? I'm going to be dealing, I'll talk more on this thing. You realize that when money starts to come in, even your skin starts to change. There are folks that went there getting big money. They never put a stand in Africa, never built a house in Africa, came back with nothing. Their skin is worse than those that they left behind. Are you with me? So you've got to be telling them, be determined. Make up your mind. Increase his mind. I cannot remain the same. Check what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. It says, go and check the ant hill. See how the ants are doing it there. A little sleep, a little slumber. What happens? Woman. You know what? You know, people that got married, I think they understand the financial change to the world. You realize that One of the institutions the devil don't like is marriage. Brother saves money, problem starts to work. Brother spends the money saved for the honor to solve problems. The moment he does that, there is no more money, no more problems come. The moment he starts saving, problems has to come. Not only is this for people that are going to get married, but usually that's the trend that most believers go through. The day your salary rocks in, they just call you at home. You know that your daughter from your second, that daughter from your second cousin, they swallowed the peg. It's right here on their neck. They need 500 US to pay an operation to remove it. And you check in your account, that's after removing rent and everything, that's exactly the amount you want to budget. It's what they need back home to solve problems. And you think that's being a good son, a good wife, a good daughter, a good so-and-so, a good so. It's the spirit of poverty. To make sure you don't save nothing. If you are not determined to break away from that, you'll be living in a vicious cycle of being a poor person that gets money sometimes. Hallelujah. For some of you, you thought poverty was staying in the street. My brother, my sister, you'll be eating your bologna but with no money. You just finished taking care of yourself. A problem arises that needs money right there. And it needs exactly what you're doing. That even tithe is not part of the, it's not even included there. You can't even tithe because you have to deal with problems. And you think that's normal, that's poverty. You've got to be determined to break away from that thing. You can raise your hand in your heart if you can relate to what I'm saying. Just smile at me. If you say, Pastor, you know money comes my way, but I don't know, problems just come in this morning. And check what happens. You get paid maybe on the 1st, on the 25th, or on the 15th. 10 days, 5 days after you receive your money, problems come. When you deal with them, until the next 15th, you will be living a stress-free life. Get money, see what happens. Problems come. Now you hear, you know that 15th cousin, they broke their leg. What were they doing? They saw kids playing soccer in the street and they said, kick the ball to me. When the ball was kicked to them, they tried to kick their leg break. So yeah, the only one we're looking up to. You are the Lani of the family. But according to the standard of the world, you are in a vicious cycle of poverty. The lepers could not stay in the same place. They broke the vicious cycle by being determined. Check what was happening to the lepers. Somebody brought lunch. They eat, their stomachs are full. After the person is gone a couple of hours, they are hungry. They now need supper. And somebody brings supper, they eat. What if they are hungry in the middle of the night? You can wake up and take an apple in your fridge. There is nothing to snack on. They have to wait until the morning comes. And before somebody brings food to them, people are busy debating. They go, you take it. They say, no, you take it. It's leprosy. You take it. You take it. So when the food comes, it's already, it's cold. You can't even enjoy it. It's not even warm because people were fighting who's going to take it. Are you with me, Pastor? Yeah. So they broke. So I said, be determined. That's number what? 4. Number 5, break the vicious cycle. Cycles of money coming and going in your life. Break them. Thank you, Mrs. Jaita. Hallelujah. Yeah. You have to become fruitful. Be determined to become fruitful. Make up your mind that I am going to be fruitful. I am starting this thing. I am going to be fruitful. Be persistent. Check what happens here. The disciples are fishing the whole night. They were fishermen, right? Is that true? They were fishermen. What does that mean? Huh? They were business people. They had the fishing expertise. I mean, you can fish. Have you ever fished before in your life? You have. Are you a fisherman? You are a person that occasionally fishes. But these ones were expert fishermen. They had the experience, the knowledge. If they were fishery colleges, they might have passed through them. These were business people, the disciples. But the Bible says, one time they toiled all night and caught nothing. They labored. They got what? Nothing. Maybe you are sitting here, you are saying, Pastor, that's me. And I always get that. I heard there was an opportunity. I sent my money, I never saw it. I heard there was another opportunity. My very own sister, I never saw the money again. I even opened what stock no one was buying. They always made promises to buy. No one was coming. Even people I know, they don't buy. Maybe it's you. But when Jesus spoke a word, come on, tell your neighbor, when Jesus spoke a word, they toiled the whole night. Check the lepers. Their job was to sit there, 2 foot comes. But when the siege went on, they were toiling there, nothing happening. But when there was a word that was released in the city the day before, they did not know about the word. But all of a sudden, they felt the edge in them to act and to become fruitful. Hallelujah. Jesus said to the disciples, won't you cast your nets to the other side? In other words, the spirit of prosperity upon Jesus changed the climate, the environment. If fish could not come where they were, because fish did not like the atmosphere, because Jesus spoke the word, it created an atmosphere that brought fish where they were. When they threw their nets, the Bible says they could not contain the fish, that even their boats were about to sink, that they called 4 more boats to come and help them. Why? Because they changed. They were determined that at his word, we are going to become fruitful. Paul says, son Timothy, the prophetic words spoken to you, wage war with them. Make up your mind. By his word, I am coming out. By his word, I am marching forward. By his word, I am becoming fruitful. I am not staying here any longer, but I am changing my story. I am rewriting my history. I am the author of my life. If people are going to ask me, how did you make it? I will say, it is the Lord that I have made. It is by him that I have made it. Abraham said to the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't give me your wealth so that people will think you have made me rich. I am my own man. God has a word that he has spoken over my life. By his word, the Bible says, Abraham amassed wealth. He became what? Rich. He amassed more wealth to the extent that even his nephew and him could not share the same pastures. That's how rich they were. Can you become rich that? Let me explain that one. Do you know rich people don't put their money in Capitec, in F&B, in Upside, Standard, in Netbank? Do you know that? You don't. Have you ever seen at malls, you just see the written Bank of Athens, fruitful? Some of you are saying, Pastor, you don't get it because I am that person you're talking about. I only want a revenue income. My job is my revenue income. Pastor, I wish you would know my boss. Can I tell you something? That Jacob went in Laban's house, a shrewd man, even more shrewd than your boss. He did not want to give Jacob anything, but Jacob was blessed. And he had made up his mind, that's what I have went for. You are going to give me what is mine. He had made up his mind. That's the
kingdom. Come on, rise up from your